Good news, everyone!
It's Jake Seeley.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great! Everybody else sucks!
Let's get dangerous!
Yes, sir, random kid I just met!
It's time to check the link.
Oh, wait, you're serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list!
Hooray! People are paying attention for me.
It's all in football.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No. Burn.
What is up, you docs? It is All in Football Week 14. Ranks, game previews, all such a good stuff. For fantasy football. Hey, it's that time of year. We got like 4 weeks left.
Whatever. Oh,
like,
man.
It's just, who
it's
can
the
talk
grind
anymore?
Is real. Yeah.
I know. The grind is, you know what? I don't feel the grind this year. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's married life. It's just spoiling me. I don't know. But I do get the grind of this is about the time of year where it's like, thanks for nothing, Jake. Like, thanks for this. Like, you know, it's like, all these people in first, like, it's funny. Like, I'm not even saying like I hate those people. It's just like it's human nature. You see, like, I'm in first thanks to you, blah blah blah. I have this team with all these decisions to make thanks to you, blah blah blah. And then your mind goes right to the one where it's like, I miss my playoffs because your rankings, jerk. And it's like, you ignore the 9 good ones for the 1 bad one. But we love you anyway.
Thanks for the Jahan Dotson call, bud. Thanks. Really ruined my entire fantasy football season.
I am not getting as much as the Jahan Dotson hate as I was for the Cam Akers hate last year. I think it's because it's a wide receiver, maybe.
Yeah.
Interesting
like
enough.
Ninth round pick, yeah.
Yeah. Also, yesterday, I was retweeting. A lot of people started retweeting it. The guy from ESPN that does the charts, and he's showing the separation for the wide receivers. And Terry McLaurin, for what everybody loves Terry McLaurin, and we've sat on this show and kind of said that, like, hey, Terry McLaurin is good as a 2, and a lot of people want him to be a 1. I'm like, look, he's just not a 1. And interesting enough, I didn't think it was this bad. Terry McLaurin and both Jahan Dotson were in the bottom 10 of wide receivers at getting separation. Like, bottom 10. And, like, somebody was like, well, you know, I made the comment and said, give credit to Sam Howell for what he's been able to do, knowing that they're like that. And again, that doesn't mean Terry McLaurin's terrible. This is just their skill sets, and they need somebody. This is kind of what's hampering the Panthers and Bryce Young's development. But anyway, somebody was like, well, it could have been a fallout from last year. And I looked at last year. They were both bottom 20 last year. That's just not who they are. So I thought that was very interesting and kind of a testament to what Howell's been able to do.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense because neither of them have been all that productive or consistent in how Howell leads the NFL in passing yards and passing attempts. Like, he's been right there 1 or 2 or 3 basically since week 4 of the season, and yet those guys are not doing anything. Like, who's getting these yards? Like, Curtis Samuel lately, Logan Thomas, but I don't know.
Samuel's the one that can get open.
Terry was the guy we had as a sit. I mean, I watched that game and he was doing nothing against Jalen Ramsey, and yeah, that Miami defense is taking shape now. It's been a rough go for Terry and Dotson.
It's been a rough go period this year for like basically a lot of wide receivers.
For starting quarterbacks?
Oh, that too. Oh my God. Like, who's left this week?
Are you kidding me?
I don't want to say anything for fantasy or for NFL. Like, things need to change. I just think it's a bad year. Like, these things kind of happen. We've had years before where it's happened to wide receiver. We've had years before where it's happened to running back. Obviously, it's usually running back. But we've gone down this road before. Like, remember, what was the year where Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, they were first-round picks. They both went down, like, super early that year. And it's just, like, it's happened. We're missing Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson! I'm so excited to get him back! He's back! Justin Jefferson's back! Also, breaking news, kind of, but Joshua Palmer's practice window's open. Hopefully they can get him back. I even tweeted this, just real quick version, because I don't know that it's necessarily going to happen this week, but we're not going to be here if it does, because you'll have to ask us on Twitter or, you know, in the comments. But if he somehow played this week, it's the practice window. I don't know. Last week we heard and he's like, we hope to get him back this year. So I don't know. But if I said he's an immediate top 30 play, like this off, if 100%, this offense needs Joshua Palmer. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, Guyton's got 2 catches in the last 2 games. Johnson's coming off his best game of his NFL career. It's not saying a whole lot, but he had 7 targets, 5 grabs.
I was going to say, it's like
yards. But I guess it's something. What we know, you know, Belichick and Keenan Allen, right? So the other guy and Johnson had to step up. But yeah, I would agree. it may feel like a risky play heading into the playoffs, or, you know, a situation where you need somebody immediately, but, you know, you could have Tank Dell. So I'd say Palmer, low end wide receiver three.
Hey, you know what? Let's talk Tank Dell. No. Let's talk about him, because this works for Let's Talk Rankings and everything that week. So Tank this week, not that week. That week was last week. This week is this week. Tank Dell. He's done for the year, in case anybody missed. Unfortunately, a lot of teams in the playoffs because of him headed to the playoffs. And what happens this week? We get Noah Brown. That's exciting. I'm not even being tongue-in-cheek. That's exciting, because Noah Brown in those two games, like that. Look, nobody was close to Noah Brown. He was the number one wide receiver in so many stats those 2 weeks. We don't think that's going to continue. That's not Noah Brown. It's just like, hey, he hit a nice little run. The third game was pretty good on top of that. Basically, I think it was weeks 8 through 10. So, anyway, point being, we could get excited about Noah Brown, and I even said Noah Brown immediate, similar to Josh Palmer, immediate top 30. Like, when I put the waiver column out there, there are only two running backs, Zeke, which we're going to talk about, Keaton Mitchell, and then Noah Brown. All other running backs are behind because, whatever, Derrick Henry didn't have a concussion. Still don't know what the hell that's all about. But anyway, Noah Brown gets the Jets, though. That's the problem. Immediately gets out there and gets to face the Jets. So... Well, this is a multi-layered situation here, because you said quarterback. Quarterback's gross. But do you start C.J. Stroud against the Jets? Let's start with him, because C.J. Stroud at quarterback, I want to put him higher, but he's at 15. So I'm going to run off the names right in front of him, and you tell me if you would start C.J. Stroud over any of them. I'm going to go reverse order, because I know the top 7, 8 or whatever, there's not a question about it. But C.J. Stroud versus Goff in Chicago, which I could see the argument for, but that's who I have right now, one spot in front of him. Gardner Minshew against the Bengals. Josh Dobbs, assuming they stick with him. Obviously, if it's Jaren Hall, that will change. Justin Herbert, I mean, at 11, and that's probably the lowest I've had Justin Herbert in a long time. Russ Wilson against the Chargers on the other side of the ball, and then Jordan Love, Justin Fields, Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, is there anybody you would start C.J. Stroud over?
I got 14. The only guy was Dobbs that I had behind him. But with Jefferson coming back, I get it. I mean, he has a bit of a rushing floor, too. So, I am a little bit worried about C.J. Stroud in this offense. The Jets defense is still pretty good. It's going to be sloppy weather. There's a few games in Cincy, in Cleveland, in Baltimore, in New York. This looks like rain and wind this week. It could be a crazy weekend in the NFL right when you need everybody to show up for you. But he's been so good. The picks have creeped into his game over the past couple of weeks, but without Tank Dell, there could be a bit of an adjustment period here for him in this offense. And I don't know how healthy Noah Brown is. I know he didn't do anything last week, but I do like him over John Mechie. But yeah, the quarterbacks you listed, I'm playing Goff. I don't care that it's on the road. It's against the Bears. Like, I'm just playing him. Russell Wilson's been great. I mean, he's running like he...
So would you go
rushing
Goff
yards of roughly 30 per game this year? I would play Goff over Stroud, yeah.
That's the only one that gives me pause. Like, I honestly feel, even facing the Jets, I feel like Stroud is the safer play just because of who Goff is outdoors. And the Bears defense as a whole. Like, we've been talking about this entire year on the show, and I keep putting it in the column, which, by the way, I added a little colored charts this week to kind of, because people are like, it's getting stat heavy. So I'm like, I focused the blurbs more on players. You're looking at it right now. I focused the blurbs more on players.
And no, then I'm gonna look at Goff.
So, like, you could kind of like see the charts, and it's got like points margin per game, over under percentage, yards per play, and it's the defense too. So you can kind of like little see the charts and see like where things match up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, interesting enough, what we'll get to is how good the Eagles defense is for the Cowboys, how bad your defense has been, Chris Meany. But the thing with Stroud is I feel like he's the safer floor giving Goff, because it's not just the run defense that has been the highest stuff percentage since week 5. Like, teams are not running against the Bears as like what people would think. People would see the Bears and they're like, oh, the Bears stink. No, they're like a top 5 run defense. Their pass defense has been all of a sudden good. I don't know if it's chicken and the egg situation is like one or the other, but I'm like going back to it real quick to pull up. So what my stat here, right here. So outside of Mike Evans in week 2, and that was week 2. No other wide receiver has topped 77 receiving yards or 14.6 points against the Bears, including Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think, had like 12 or 13. He didn't get over 77 yards. Mike Evans is the only person this year. The Bears' defense is good.
It is, and it's taken I mean, they made a lot of moves in the offseason to improve it. And the addition of Sweat, I think, has really helped them get some pressure off the on the quarterback. So they've always just been a – not always, but for the past few weeks, I'd say even like the 10 weeks, we've been talking about them as a team that just doesn't give up a lot on the ground. I still like Goff, though, as a guy that can get, I don't know, 18 to 20 fantasy points. Just like Sam LaPorte has been so good.
So you think he's safe have for this Amon-Ra.
I do.
I think he's more boom bust.
Yeah, I think the ceiling is higher this week for him than Stroud against the Jets.
Yeah. Okay. So with Stroud and the Jets, Nico Collins and Noah Brown, where would you rank Nico Collins? I have him at 20, right behind Devontae Adams, DK Metcalf, right in front of, and I thought about putting these guys in front of him, Rashee Rice, Puka Nacua. By the way, Rashee Rice inside the top 25. Finally, we get a Chiefs wide receiver inside the top 25. It's happening, everybody. Michael Scott.gif. DeAndre Hopkins, Garrett Wilson on the other side of the ball. But, I mean, who the hell is starting a quarterback? Are they going back to Zach Wilson or not? Like, I have no idea what's happening in that situation. I didn't even rank Zach Wilson. I didn't rank Jets quarterback. I'm like, well, who matters? Who cares anyway? But Reed, Flowers, Ridley, which we'll talk about some of those. But do you think that's a fair spot for Nico Collins? Just, you know, we don't have to nitpick, but top 20? Lower?
Yeah, low-end wide receiver too. I think it's fine. I personally, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I think I may play Rice over him or Puka, but again, you just have him two spots behind him. I think it's fine. Like I said, the weather's going to be bad. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be windy. The Jets defense
is legit. Talk about that.
But he's
quick,
the one. Like, he may just get 10 to 12 targets.
He's
like, it's possible.
He's the one.
He is. He is the one. Straight so, up.
I have Noah Brown down in the high 30s for that point. Like, I think he could do something
too.
But here's
about him.
Well, and what we've talked about before is I actually don't think he really skips a beat as in replacing Tank Dell because he did it earlier and he stepped in for Nico. When we had that conversation back then is what I brought up to you is when CJ Stroud is under pressure, he looks for Nico Collins first or even sometimes the tight end because he needs to get the ball out quicker. Who's separating faster? Nico Collins. So when he's got more time, that's when he's going downfield to Tank Dell and Noah Brown. So I was worried about that overlap when there was all three of them, but now it's just two of them. So I think it could still happen. Whether or not the tight end ends up being Brevin Jordan or Dalton Schultz, if Dalton Schultz comes back, that'll help too on the quicker side of things. But the Jets aren't like highest pressure rate. So he still might have time to get Noah Brown. It really comes down to what kind of coverage is out there. And that's the concerning part. I'm going to go back to something you said about the weather, though, because you were talking about the weather. And this is about the time of year where everybody starts to throw off this question, which if everybody's been with us for years, they know the answer. And just in case you don't, there's a link at the top of the rankings column that has it. It's the weather. It's Fantasy Football 101, advice on trades, lineups, how to make those decisions. And weather is in there. And the very simple version I give is the 15, 25, 35 rule. So that you can just remember the numbers. Nice five numbers. The 35 is for temperature, and the 15 and the 25 are for wind. And then, of course, precipitation comes into play. So basically, when it's 15 plus for wind, passing game, you can break a tie. Like if we're sitting here doing this, Goff versus CJ Stroud, Goff has 15 mile an hour wind, CJ Stroud doesn't, you break the tie, you go CJ Stroud. That kind of situation. 25 plus is when you start thinking about, oh, okay, I need to turn to somebody else. Like Jared Goff might get benched for Matthew Stafford in a bad matchup, which we're going to talk about today as well. That's where you start. The 35 and under is where the temperature starts to come into play. The temperature will decrease scoring as a whole. Now, if you lay over top of that precipitation, and I'm not talking about like that little misty crap, but I mean legit precipitation, whether it's rain or snow, on top of the 15 plus, on top of the 25 plus, there's charts in there. It gets bad. And that's what, you know, meaning is a good point to bring up. Now, don't overreact. If it's like 30% chance of rain, 10 to 15 mile an hour wind, doesn't matter. Throw it out the window. Don't overreact. But watch all these because it's that time of year. So quick version. I mean, that wasn't really that much of a quick version, but kind of a synopsis version, so to speak. But back to that, Matthew Stafford. Let's say that CJ Stroud is facing terrible weather. Let's say Jared Goff is facing terrible weather. Would that be enough for you to go to Matthew Stafford's facing the Ravens. Pat Mayo, I talked about on his show on Monday, which I know a good friend of yours, Pat Mayo, a friend of ours. Love some Pat Mayo. He was like, I don't even want to start Matthew Stafford this week. The Ravens defense is that scary this year. Yeah. It has become that scary. Again, this is something we've seen before. Matthew Stafford, though, is an accomplished quarterback who can overcome these. Nacua's banged up, though. I mean, he's supposed to play. Cooper Kupp, finally saved his day with a touchdown late last week. Let's just, I'm throwing out the scenario. It might not even come to play, but I just want to give people a perspective of like how risky Stafford truly is. If Stroud and Goff are facing 20-plus mile-an-hour winds, rain, precipitation, it's gross, would you turn to Matthew Stafford against the Ravens?
Well, the funny thing is that he's probably facing rain and wind. I mean, I'm looking at covers right now at Baltimore. I mean, it's just Wednesday, but rain and 20-plus mile-an-hour wind. Chicago, rain and 20-mile-hour wind, plus 20. Cincy, rain and 20-plus. Cleveland, rain and 24-plus. New York, rain and 20-plus. Like, it's just Wednesday, but it's looking like Baltimore, Chicago, Cincy, and Cleveland, along with the Jets, that those are going to be environments where it's rainy and there is 20-plus mile-an-hour winds. But to answer your question, no, about Stafford, I get it. He can overcome it. He's an experienced quarterback.
But
he's right? It's like it doesn't look like it's going to be a good weekend in a lot of cities for the NFL. But Stafford can – like. He's certainly more experienced. He can figure this out. McVay's a good play caller. Like, let's get the ball out quick. What I've noticed in the Rams offense lately, and obviously having Kyren Williams back has helped this. They've been able to run the ball a lot. And with Puka Nacua in that last game, you're seeing some end arounds. You're seeing some things that they've actually done with Kupp over the past couple of years that maybe Kupp is just not healthy enough to do. And Nacua is doing that. And they're gaining some nice plays with some end around runs and some creativity at the offensive line. I'm sure they're going to have to do that. But Baltimore's defense is legit. Like, we were talking about Goff, and I get it, home and away splits, and even Goff had a great game in Tampa Bay, I think, the week before. But when they went into Baltimore, I don't even know if he had a fantasy point. I know that the team didn't score any points, I don't think. That's how good this defense is. It's the, 4.6, 4.5 yards per attempt that they're allowing is something that hasn't happened in, like, almost 30 years in the NFL. This is even better than the 2000 Ravens, which were, you know, a Super Bowl defensive squad that were just one of the best of all time. So
we don't talk about that.
Yeah,
we don't talk about that Super Bowl where I left the room because this is back in the day where, like, you know, you couldn't, like, you know, I mean, this is still box TVs. I left the room, had the game on just so I could hear when the commercials came on so I can come back in the room for the commercials because I was already over that game at halftime.
As soon
as they called back the intercept or the touchdown interception, like, I'm just, I was done. I was out of there. Like, that was so miserable. Why you gotta bring that up, man?
My bad. But I think just to come back full circle into your question, I think that I would still just roll with Stroud, who has, I don't know, he's shown us a whole lot. He's been pretty consistent. But losing a guy like Tank Dell, you know, could really hurt this offense. Maybe they just lean on the run game with, you know, Pierce got more run last week than Singletary. So, maybe they just run the ball. That's what you should do against the Jets, by the way.
Okay, to go back to the Nacua. So you said Nacua possibly over Nico Collins, but maybe should he actually be lower? Because here you go. You want to talk about matchup against the Ravens? How many double-digit scores do you think the Ravens have given up to wide receivers this year?
I'd say two or three. Honestly, they've been that good.
Five, but three of them are 10.2, 10.4, and 10.6. Just skirted past. The other two, the 20.9 from T. Higgins, by the way, all the way
that
back
was,
in week
what,
two.
What, week two, week three? Yeah. Wow.
George Pickens in week five for what he did.
The season.
And then there's been nothing since. Amon-Ra St. Brown was 102 yards with just 19 targets, by the way. Actually, two of those 10-point scores came with 16 targets to Keenan Allen and 19 targets to Amon-Ra St. Brown for 10.2 and 10.6. The 10.4 was, of all people, Elijah Moore, 5 for 44 with a touchdown, which happens to be one of
Watson
six receiving touchdowns they've given up to. So should we let's come back to Nacua. Should actually Nacua be lower? Because here's the thing. This is what I said to Pat is if I knew Nacua was 100%, he'd be the one I kind of keep in that spot. Like, I'm ranking him as if he's going to be fine. Like, I don't feel great if he's not, because I feel like looking at this game log and looking at, like, the only good games you have is when you have high volume going to the wide receiver or a potential touchdown. So if I knew it was Nacua, that's been Matthew Stafford's guy. Cooper, I mentioned it. Cooper Kupp wasn't really much involved until late. He got his touchdown late, saved his day. If Nacua was out, I'd be like, cool, Cooper Kupp, top 20, right in that range. But I feel like they're just going to siphon from each other. And what you just brought up is it's a run game, which you can actually run against the Ravens somewhat. I mean, more than you can throw against them. I mean, Jerome Ford had a good game against them. So you're going to get 20 touches for Kyren Williams. I think that's where they turn.
Absolutely. And that's what they should do. And I would expect him to get 20 touches. I mean, he's been the past couple of games has been exactly what we saw from him before he got hurt. Like, all the volume is just been there for him, and targets out of the backfield. I think I'm fine with Nacua, like maybe Hopkins over him, maybe Zay Flowers over him. But like, are we rolling out Ridley in another crappy weather game with Beathard there? I think I'm more concerned about Kupp. I like Brandon Cooks against the Eagles. They did shut him down. Darius Slay shut him down. They're going to have no answer for CeeDee Lamb or Ferguson again. But are you really going to roll out Brandon Cooks against Nacua I over him? I think I would just take the upside and in the creative ways that maybe they can find him getting the ball. Yeah.
You know what? Like, this just, there's no basis for it. For everybody out there, this is one of the things I always tell people too, is to trust your gut. Like, people are like, you know, I see your rankings, but I still feel blank. Like, trust your gut. We're not right 100% of the time. There's no way. Like, if we were even 90% of the time, we would not be doing the show. We'd be sitting with Mai Tais on some island because we'd have billions of dollars in our bank account. Yeah. Like, there's just like there's, so we're doing the best to give you all the information possible to make your decision. Like, I honestly, at this point in my career, like, I wish I could just get rid of rankings, because the rankings are that, like, I don't want people to just go down the rankings and be like, this, done. That's my lineup. Because there's information with those. Like, sometimes, boom or bust, what we just talked about, quarterback, it comes down to your lineup. This is all the information we're trying to give. So I'm going through all this, and you bring this up to say, like, Calvin Ridley, like, if it wasn't facing the Browns, I feel a little bit better. Beathard actually goes deeper more often than Lawrence does. Lawrence, definitively better quarterback by miles. But you go back to Brandon Cooks. I talked about the Eagles, and I told you, like, the Eagles are trash. Like, everybody's throwing. I'm actually really mad I missed the prop on the over in attempts last week, because everybody has been hitting the over in attempts against them. And then, of course, last week we get super efficient game against them. And I'm like, dang it. Like, it was just 30, there. Man. But all that being said, I just have this feeling that the Eagles turn around a little bit this week. Like, I don't think Brandon Cooks is a smash. I'm still smashing CeeDee Lamb, still, you know, Tony Pollard, Dak. I just feel like this is the game where divisional, they get right a little bit, especially with the additions that they made on their defense to try and patch these holes. Like, it's just, you know, you get what I'm saying?
I don't know.
There's no basis for it.
No, I know. Like, you feel like they got smacked in the mouth and it's good for them, I think. You know, it's like a reality check. Like, but at the same time, and I don't want to make any excuses, but these are just the facts. Like, they played 3 games in 13 days against the Chiefs on Monday Night Football, against the Bills, where they went in overtime and their defense was on the field for 96 snaps, and then the 49ers. And on two of those teams, like, the 49ers had 10 days rest. The Cowboys have over 10 days rest here. They're ready for them. They consistently score 30 points at home. They already lit up this Eagles secondary a couple weeks ago. Like, I see what you're saying, and maybe they show up a little bit. They change their philosophy a touch on defense, but they still, like, Shaq is not going to help them. He's not going to be able to just be like, okay, now we're amazing in the middle.
I know.
The linebackers are great. What I think Philly should do to keep Dak and company off the field is go back to running the football. This is what they're supposed to do best.
You went right where I was going next.
I saw a picture this morning at the practice facility at 6:30 a.m. an Eagles fan holding a sign that says run the ball. That's how crazy the fan base is. But this is what they do when they get through these little moments where it goes back to last year. They shy away from the run, but the offensive line is so good, and that's really should be their identity. When they lost to the Jets, they had Jalen Hurts throwing the ball like nearly 50 times. Why didn't they run the ball? They didn't even try to run against San Fran, and I understand that they're a good run defense. This isn't the same in Dallas. Like, you can run on the Cowboys. And I see Swift in the low 20s across the board for a consensus ranking. I have him as a mid-low NRB2 as well, but I think he touches the ball 15 times in this game.
Well, I have him 21. It's also because I don't know that he's 100%. So if I knew that by the end of the week, I'd slide him up a few spots. And when we talk running back ranks, by the way, the reason I was like trying not to laugh while you were talking, and had nothing to do with your Eagles, had 100% to do with Joey Wright, friend of the show, who asked what the perfect temperature to store Funko Pops are. So that's why I was trying not to laugh. Breaking me mid-show, Joey.
Yeah.
But the best Uber ride I've ever had in my life, and with Joey.
With Joey?
Oh, my God. He's just asking the Uber driver all sorts of, like, have you ever been here? What do you want to go? Like, let's go here. Let's go check that out. I've never been there before. Like, It was the most entertaining
guy
I've ever been. Yeah. So DeAndre Swift I have at 21. Zeke I have at 20 right in front of him because there is no Ramondre Stevenson. Also no Ramondre Stevenson for the rest of the year. But I feel like 20 is my stopping point because this game is oof. So I tweeted this yesterday. And I'm not saying, like, everybody, like, go love my tweets. I am shocked this tweet got no attention. Like, I don't mean no attention. Like, no likes, one retweet. Like, it just was shocking to me. Maybe people don't think I should be tweeting this kind of information. But I thought it was as interesting as hell. So the Patriots-Steelers game is down to a 30 over-under in Vegas. So I went down a rabbit hole. I'm like, man, how – we're talking Iowa football here. So there's been seven games – in the history of over-unders. You know, obviously the NFL didn't have that, like, acknowledge that Vegas and all that type of stuff back in the day. So the entire history, on Pro Football Reference, there's been seven games that have been 30 or under. Of those, three of those happened in the same week, December 26, 1993. We're actually at the 30-year anniversary of the worst football week in ever, but that was week 17 back then. By the way, Jim Harbaugh at quarterback that week in a terrible game. So nice. There's what, 28 even. Is the lowest over-under of all time. It's happened twice. Now, here's the interesting thing. Six of those seven games actually went over. So, I'm bringing this up to say, it's still, like, it's just, it's a really fun stat for me. Maybe I'm crazy. Yeah. But Zeke at 20, should he be higher? When you hear six of the seven went over for an under of 30, you figure there's a touchdown or two in there. Zeke with the volume against the Steelers, that you can run on them more than you can pass on them. Do you feel like 20 is too low?
That's where I have him too. And I thought, and I was trying to figure out, like, it felt weird having him at 20 and projecting him for like 15, 20 touches. It felt a little off, but I just don't know who I could put him ahead of. Like, maybe Javonte Williams, you know, I'll put him ahead of the Chicago guys.
He's got the Chargers.
I know he's got the Chargers. You're not putting him ahead of, like, Jacobs or even Saquon. Like, I do have him ahead of Breece. I agree with you on Breece. It's just you can't trust him in this Jets offense at the moment. I just don't know who else I would put ahead. And I, you know, if you were to tell me over or under on that 30, I would lean with the over. I mean, that's such a low number. I joked on Monday and said it's 32.5, and it feels like 32.5, like, too many, given the fact that the Pats just scored zero. And their defense is legit. It's playing really good over the past couple weeks.
Like,
it's playing
6-0 this game.
Yeah, it's so good. I went to a New England game for a buddy's bachelor party, and it was 13-0. And I thought that was the worst sporting event I've ever seen in my life. But I'll tell you what, if anybody was at Foxborough last week, that was the worst sporting event you've ever seen in your life. It's holding at 30. You got Trubisky on the other side. They're just going to run the ball, but the Pats don't give up anything on the ground.
How about this? Let's have conversation toss-ups here. You ready? Let's say, for everybody out there that might not have seen this, Najee Harris, I don't think it was because of the comments. Because
did you see that?
I know. I took the fire thing. I took the this is fine, and I put I guess at the bottom. Because, like, holy crap. Wow, I guess our quarterback
under the bus.
For anybody that didn't see it, for all intents, like, I guess quoting, I'm not really quoting, but for all reality here, he basically was like, I guess we got to go with Trubisky. Like, that's kind of
his response. His leadership? It's good, I guess. And there was something else, a follow-up, too. Something, I guess. I mean, I can get the exact thing, but
it's not good. But also, what's not good is so he didn't practice. So I don't think that necessarily it comes down to that. It has to do with his knee. But let's say Najee Harris is out for Thursday Night Football. Would you go Jalen Warren or Ezekiel Elliott in that same game?
I would go Jalen.
I agree with you.
I think there's a little bit more burst. I liked Najee more last week, and I kept talking about that over and over and over again. But I think I may like Harris or Jalen more this week just because I think he's more explosive with the ball in his hands, and I think they may, like, throw a couple passes to him. Because I think both backs will struggle to run the football against the New England front. So maybe there's an uptick with him. But again, what we said last week, once they get inside the red zone, inside the 10, it's Najee.
Okay, so would you
play
go
Swift over both of them, by the way?
Swift over Najee, Jalen Warren with no Najee Harris?
No, if one of the guys are, if Najee's out, okay. I'd go Jalen.
So if both Steelers are active, really you're going DeAndre Swift, which I agree with. Yeah. If there is no Najee Harris, you're going Jalen Warren, then Swift.
Yeah.
What about Zeke? I don't know. Did you say Zeke versus Swift?
I would say just because I don't trust your use.
Really?
I'm still going trust the Swift more. I just got to take a game that has a 51 point total versus a 30.
I don't disagree with that aspect of it, but I just don't trust your Eagles. That like Kenneth Gainwell, like all of a sudden, like
should make Rashad Penny active, man. Give him a couple, like run the ball.
You know what's going to happen? The same thing you and I talked about for the past 2 years is going to be Boston Scott all of a sudden getting touchdowns.
This is the time of the season. You got the Giants coming up. You know, a couple games. Boston Scott is the season to get.
Let's bring up one where for everybody out there. To consensus, I'm 11 under, and I still wanted to push him down even further. I wanted to push him down to Breece Hall, but the matchup's really nice, and it is Austin Eckler. At what point is Austin Eckler, we're done with giving him the respect of the name and who he is, because he hasn't been that. Since he's come back, he has not been right. Just last week, under 2 yards a carry, he is not right. He is not playing well. Denver Broncos' run defense is a real nice matchup. Their pass defense is a tough matchup now, as we've been talking about 4 weeks. But Austin Eckler, I have one spot in front of David Montgomery. And I'm like, you know what? Here's a perfect example for everybody. This is why I do projections as well, because then you can also see another layer of my thought process. If my projections spit out David Montgomery over Austin Eckler, I'm going to be like, fine, I'm moving him even further down. If they spit out Derrick Henry higher, I'm going to be fine, I'm moving him down. Like, I want to be convinced to move Austin Eckler down. It's just, this comes down to the answer, which I think a lot of people have to ask themselves that you and I talk about a lot, is can I live with watching Austin Eckler potentially get 20 points on my bench because I started David Montgomery? I think I can at this point. Can you do it, though? Could you live with yourself, Chris Meaney, to bench him for Ezekiel Elliott?
Oh, no. Not Zeke. Okay. If not Montgomery, you're going to go Montgomery.
No.
No, I can't. And we had a question on the series show. It was like 3 or 4 good backs, and I think we all talked about sitting Eckler. And again, it goes back to New England. I mean, he had a good rush defense. They're allowing the fewest yards per carry. He had 18 yards on 14 attempts. The week before Baltimore, 32 on 10 attempts. This is a better matchup for him. So does he have more of a 10 for 64 type of game that he did against the Packers, which was a good matchup? Probably, yeah. He doesn't look the same. You're right. And it's tough for Justin Herbert when you only have Keenan Allen that you can trust to throw the football to inside this offense without Palmer. Maybe Palmer comes back and they move the ball a little bit better. But I have him where you do. Low 20s is a mid to low end RB2, unfortunately. He's just not healthy at the moment. And I said this to you before, like if the Chargers win this game or lose this game against the Broncos,
oh, he might be
shut down. Wonder if he just gets shut down, because there's been a lot of talk about how he wants to trade, he wants the contract, health, playing through these injuries. He's a smart man. He's not going to play.
Somebody asking about stashing running backs in the waiver column. I pointed to the same thing. Yeah, and I was like talking about stashing backups, which as an aside, Moran was out sick. No waiver show this week, which is what happened. But this is the point where if you have spots, stash the backups like Elijah Mitchell. I don't know how many times I keep saying, do not let Elijah Mitchell sit out there anymore because Christian McCaffrey goes down. Exactly. But when it comes down to backups, like I don't think it always has to be your backup. Like Kyron Williams goes down, Royce Freeman, I'd rather stash I'd rather stash Tyler Allgeier if he's sitting out there because Bijan goes down. And somebody was like, well, you know what? I have Bijan. Well, what do I want to hold on to Tyler Allgeier instead of, I think it was Jaylen Warren. And I was like, well, Najee Harris might be out, but like the lead running backs aren't the only ones that get hurt. Like they're not only the leads.
And there's always one, two over the past couple of years, Rashad Penny, Justin Jackson. There's always somebody that is like a fantasy football MVP.
Well, it could be the backup too. Like look at the Bears right now. I don't want to start any quick version. Don't start any of the Bears. Please don't if you don't have to.
Yeah.
But if you had to pick one, who would you pick? Would it be Herbert, Foreman, or Roshan?
I want it to be Roshan, but I think that's just selfish of me. Last week, 2 weeks ago, he looked really good, and he's been the third down back. But I just feel like if I'm starting one of them, it would be Herbert. But it's pretty close to me, Herbert and Roshan. I would just like to see the Bears turn things over, you know, see what they have in the young running back that they drafted. Foreman, it's been a nice story. He's filled in great. You're not making the playoffs. You know what you got in Deontay Foreman. Let's turn it over to the two younger backs. But I would lean Herbert.
Yeah, no, that's part of me was like, well, Foreman looked the best. And then I'm like, yeah, but what does Foreman do for your future? Because at least Khalil Herbert could be in the conversation, and Roshan definitively is. But yeah, that's what I'm with. Like, avoid if possible. I think that's a complete mess. I want to circle back to one running back because I want to throw his name out. Like, we kind of, I see him in the comments. A lot of people are asking about him. Don't look at the comments because the hint, it's going to be such an obvious hit anyway.
There's a few names.
So, over the last six seasons, I'm going to give you this. For the month of December, I mean, that should have just given it away right there. 21.1 fantasy points per game compared to 16.2 the rest of the year. 5.9 yards per touch compared to 4.8 the rest of the year. 5.4 yards per carry versus 4.4. 127 yards rushing per game compared to 86 the rest of the year. And then 24 touchdowns rushing in 20 games versus 52 in 63 games. Who is that guy? Oh, it's freaking Dehember. Derrick Henry, December.
King.
Derrick Henry or Austin Eckler? Because here's the issue. He is facing the Dolphins. This is different this year. If the Titans get down, Tajay Spears has already been taking snaps, and they have been turning to Tajay Spears when down. Derrick Henry hasn't been on the field as much. What if they jump out to a 17-0, 20-0 lead? So, Derrick Henry.
Which was going to happen, let's be honest.
That's what I was going to say. So, Derrick Henry or Austin Eckler? Like, is Derrick I want to put Derrick Henry so much higher. Like, I want, like, I'm like, it's Derrick freaking Henry. It's December. He should be an RB1. But I have him at 18, and that's actually high compared to a lot of people.
I think I would play Eckler over Henry.
Really?
Between the two. I think
David Montgomery?
I would play Montgomery over Henry, yeah. I mean, I like Henry. I see what you're saying. This is a guy we've been talking about as well. Back-to-back serious shows, we mentioned his rushing prop in the low 60s, which was just crazy to us. And we got lucky to get it against Carolina. And for 18 carries, but last week 21 for a bucko too, and he's got back-to-back games of two touchdowns. It's just when you look at the game log, it's what you said, it's different this year because when they're down in games, it's Spears. So if you just look at the games where they've been close, like they beat the Chargers, he had 25 carries. They lost by almost 30 to Cleveland, he had 11. They beat Cincy by almost 30, as 22. He has 13 carries and a loss to the Colts. He has 12 carries and a loss to the Ravens. They beat Atlanta, is 22 carries. They lose to Pittsburgh by 4, but they're in that game. He has 17 carries. They get crushed by the Bucs. He has 11. They get crushed by the Jags. He has 10. And then the past 2 weeks, you know, they beat Carolina at 18. And then last week was a game that it was a one-score game. They were in it. Is this going to be a one-score game? No. My favorite bet this week is Miami at half to be up by at least 7. Like, they're 13.5-point favorites here. So, if I had him, I'd be playing him. Where you have him, I think, is fair, but I would play. If I had the decision between Eckler and Montgomery or Gibbs, yeah, I'm playing those other guys.
Okay. Well, then let's circle up. And
I might think about Spears as a flex play, too, by the way.
As a flex play. Where do I have Spears? I can tell you. I know he's in the 30 range. Spears is...
I could play him over Singletary, like 37. If I was riding Singletary over the past couple weeks.
Well, here's one. Him. I have the two, not all three, but Foreman and Johnson directly in front of Spears. Would you go Spears versus the two Bears?
I would go Spears versus the two Bears, yeah.
Over them?
Yep, over
okay.
them.
Okay. Would you go Spears or Kareem Hunt?
I'd probably go Spears.
Spears or Gus Bus?
I'd probably take Gus there, so if you get a touchdown. It's a full-point PPR league. I may lean Spears.
Do you think this is transitioning, which is how my rankings reflect it, but it still only has Keaton Mitchell at 29?
I sure hope so, dude.
Gus Edwards at 33.
I hope so.
Can we rank either of them? I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, we hope it's transitioning to Mitchell, but can you really rank either of them higher?
No. Not in terms of, like, volume and opportunity. I don't believe so. I mean, as long as Aaron Jones is out, I know A.J. Dillon, but if Aaron Jones is out, like, Packers are playing pretty good football over the past couple weeks. The volume is going to be there for him. James Cook is still getting the volume. High octane game, catching balls out of the backfield. They've kind of leaned on the run since they fired.
Let's bring up an interesting one. Right now, I have Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet in the rankings. If of the two, I would assume Charbonnet is less likely to play, but I have Kenneth Walker still at 27 because I don't know how healthy he is, and that's with Charbonnet at 39 and DJ Jallis way down there. As it stands, let's assume that's the scenario. Let's assume that's the case as of today, so everybody has this to play out. Kenneth Walker, higher or lower? Should he be higher if he's actually ready to play? Or is that a fair spot? Because I'm looking at the names in front of him, like, coming off an injury, assuming Charbonnet's also out there, coming off the injury, I would still go Warren and A.J. Dillon and Breece Hall, even with Breece Hall being Breece Hall. Like, and Chuba Hubbard at 20. Like, I would still go these guys.
Oh, man. I can't believe I went up against Chuba Hubbard in my home league. Like, 23 points. I still can't believe
nobody
that.
Nobody cares about your home league.
I know. I'm still upset about it.
Do you want to talk about upset? Do you want to talk about upset? Do you want to bring this on to the show? Do you want to bring this to the fact that, like, I've been playing this freaking Survivor for 12 years, $50 buy-in with 500 people. Everybody do the math real quick.
What happened?
I made it to week 14 for the first time ever. If you haven't done the math yet, I'm waiting for the pause so you guys can do the math of what was at stake. And then I lose it to the effing Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence getting hurt and they can't stop Jake Browning's offense. And I lose it, and there's four damn remaining teams who went risky and took the Bucks. Kudos to you, but I couldn't do it. Like,
I had to pick two. I had to pick two, and I only had one strike. Like it was a two strike thing. So I'm out too with the friggin' Bengals. I swear, like,
shut up, Jiggles. Yeah, like, I did lose on a kicker, and it had to. Like, if they would have made the one kick before that, their kick after that wouldn't have been a tie. It would have been the way of the game. Freaking effing banned kickers and these stupid.
Yeah, yeah. No, the rant is fair, and that game just bummed me out altogether. I had Trevor Lawrence, needed four more points from him. I expected, like, the comeback, like, the game-winning. He was just starting to roll. I was like, ah, he's going to walk off. It's going to be a game-winning touchdown.
We'll oh, no. Yeah. As soon as he walked off and kept walking for 15 more minutes to get to wherever he was going to go because nobody has a cart in Jacksonville, soon as that happened, I had it side TVs. Nicole and I are watching Daredevil, which, by the way, this is this fun ranks this week is the top 20 TV show intros, not animated. Anime is next week. So we're watching, I have it on two TVs because I have the game and Daredevil. And as soon as that happened and he was walking for 8 miles to get to where he needed to go, I paused that TV and stopped. And, like, Nicole's like, why'd you turn it off? I was like, I don't want to watch the rest. I know what's going to happen. Like, that's like, I just, like, I knew, I didn't even want to watch the rest of the game. Anyway, as an aside for all this, to come back to it, let's talk about the Bengals real quick. Jake Browning, it's funny, on Mayo's show on Monday during the day, is I said, Jake Browning's not the worst. Jake Browning's actually super duper accurate. And that's what we saw. Again, I don't understand why the defense fell completely apart for the Jaguars, but I'm going to go to it real quick for Jake Browning and pull it up. He's first in completion percentage. Granted, it's only two starts, but it's 81%. Do you know who second is? Brock Purdy at 70.2. And he's second in yards per attempt, and he's sixth in fantasy points per game. Is Jake Browning, like, we lost a lot of quarterbacks this week, and we don't usually talk too much about quarterbacks, but, I mean, we're talking about the fact that we don't really want to start C.J. Stroud. I would still go C.J. Stroud. But we have Jameis probably playing, Tommy DeVito playing. Who else? Aiden O'Connell's out there. Like, all these quarterbacks. Is Jake Browning in play for you this week?
I have him ahead of Geno. I have him ahead of Geno and Baker.
So do I.
Which you do
He's
as well.
He's getting Colts. Do you have him in front of DeVito? I have him in front of DeVito. I actually have DeVito in front of Stafford by one spot.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I think Flacco, like, if you told me Amari Cooper was going to play, I may even consider Flacco over DeVito. But, yeah, I he's accurate. The play calling is decent. You know, he's got Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins is back. And also, he's kind of sneaky on the ground. He's athletic. So he can maybe get you a few. I wouldn't count on it. I took the over on his rushing yards 2 weeks ago. It didn't work. And I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that again this week. And I should have because he was running around out there. And I was like, wow, there's the athleticism that I thought that I saw in Jake Browning. So, yeah, I think it's fair. Super flex, obviously, territory. I think it's just if you're a Ja'Marr Chase owner, you're encouraged. You know, it's not like Garrett Wilson. It's not like Garrett Wilson's like, oh, my goodness, this guy, I'm just playing him because of his ceiling. With Ja'Marr Chase is actually catching passes and doing things on the field without Joe Burrow.
Weather's
going to be rainy everywhere, Mr. Nice Guy.
When he caught that first down, Chase did, the one that, like, he bobbled himself, like, to make the catch. Like, I just, like, I, that was actually the moment right there is where, like, I felt it going, like, done. I was just, but anyway, in that game, Zach Moss, top 10 again. And I said this on the show with Pat on Monday is that, 21 touches, I ranked him top 10. If you told me 21 touches, I would rank him top 10 again. And I'm going to rank him top 10 again. I know it didn't hit because the yards were and he didn't score, but I'm ranking him top 10 again. 91.4% of the rushes and 89.4% of the total touches when Jonathan Taylor doesn't play. Zach Moss is a bell cow of bell cow of bell cows. I'm okay with the fact that it didn't hit last week. If that's his floor, he's top 10 again against the Bengals for me.
Yeah, and that's his floor, and the matchup is better, right? The Bengals have been one of the worst rush defenses in all of football. I know that they had some decent things in that game, but ultimately, like, this is still a really bad defense. It's given up a lot through the air and a lot on the ground. So I'm with you. I have them as a roughly RB 11, 12.
Okay. Well, sir, circle back, kind of quick hit these as we get out of here. So Bucks Falcons, Chris Godwin, benching him.
Yeah, I got him in the late 30s. He's getting targets, but he's just living in the 5 to 55 range. Like, there's no ceiling for him, unfortunately.
Well, so in this game, Baker Mayfield, interestingly enough, has been the only quarterback this year to attempt more than 38 passes and complete more than 24 against the Falcons because they run so much and their defense is actually decent. Also, Chris Godwin, since week 7, one of three receivers in the NFL with at least 20% of his team targets and zero touchdowns. The other two, they both play for the Panthers. It's Thielen and Mingo. So
Scott Spratt on FTN always talks about how unlucky he is. He does this thing every Monday and lucky and unlucky touchdowns. And for Godwin getting red zone targets, so he's got one touchdown. And you just mentioned like the throws and the attempts from Baker. Like, he's getting volume, 7 targets, you know, back-to-back weeks.
I have Godwin at 47.
Wow, yeah, so you have him way lower than me. I mean, I don't know how you start him, right? I mean,
would you go here's one
really hurting your score?
So, toss up first Godwin or Jack Smith and Jigba against the 49ers, who's been starting to come along.
I probably
thinking about it. That's all that matters.
I probably would lean with Godwin, though.
Okay, but here's the other question: Smith and Jigba, should he be having a conversation with? There you go. Should we be having the Lockett conversation?
I have him 2 spots ahead of Lockett. I think you got to get the ball out quick, and I think that benefits JSN more than it does Lockett.
At this point of Lockett's career? Yeah.
Yeah, at this point of career and just mixed in with the matchup. And, like, trending up, I don't know, like a couple of decent games in a row, certainly against the Cowboys. He was a big part of their offense.
Okay. We've already talked about these other two games, so let's going back to the Jaguars-Browns real quick. How high is too high for Elijah Moore?
Kind of like him.
Kind of like him. I have a like here.
I think
I'm going to run through
double-digit targets for sure for him again.
Joe Flacco loves Elijah Moore, and that's before no Amari Cooper, also decent matchup. Jacksonville looked good on paper for fantasy purposes. And they're still decent defense. I don't think that's who they are last week. I also don't think they're like a shutdown. But I have Elijah Moore at 30 because of the volume, because of Joe Flacco. We know Joe Flacco throws 4 yards at a time. Here's Elijah Moore. Who's he in front of? I'm going to list them. You tell me if you start any of them. Like, a big difference. You'd be like, I can see the argument. I'm just a big difference. Elijah Moore I have in front of Romeo Doubs, Noah Brown, Jordan Addison, Drake London, Deontay Johnson, Gabe Davis, Josh Downs, Tyrell Lockett, Jacoby Myers, Adam Thielen, all the way down to wide receiver 40. Is there anybody you want to make a case for?
No. No, I don't. The only guy that I could make one just for the sake of making one would just be Gabe Davis against the Chiefs, and again, in a high total game and some offense there.
The
he takes away Diggs.
He does it against
That's
the Chiefs.
That's really it. He does it against the Chiefs, but he had a good game against the Eagles. You know, somebody needs to step up there outside of Diggs, and KC could limit Diggs. Like, Snead could limit Stephon Diggs. But no, I think the volume is going to be there for him. I don't trust Amari Cooper at this moment. And Flacco is, when he gets zoned in on a guy, man. And you know what? Flacco kind of impressed me in that game. For a guy that just came off the couch at this point of his career, he was certainly better than a lot of these other average backups that I've seen play.
Oh, I said that on Sunday. I tweeted it out. I was like, there is no way the Jets didn't check in on Flacco. I'm thinking Flacco didn't take their phone call.
I
think it's like blocked. Like, sorry,
it would have been way better for them to roll out Flacco over the past few weeks than Wilson. And
the Jets would be a legit playoff team with Flacco.
Yeah.
I don't even mean like fringe. I mean legit, as in fifth-ish range. Like, worried about them, especially with that defense. And if Breece Hall was able to do anything, because the offense could do anything. To go back to Gabe Davis, I threw this in the column for people to help. Like, Gabe Davis says you just start him, you know, because you're going to miss the good games if you try to play mix and match. But this is what helps with the Chiefs, and this is why it might hit against the Chiefs. It's not just because of the team totals, but when I was looking at it, man versus zone, he's got almost, like, when he faces man coverage versus zone coverage, almost identical numbers. Team target percentage, yards per route run, all the numbers, except for one thing. His touchdown to target percentage, a huge jump. 13.6 touchdown to target percentage against man versus 6.3 against zone. Guess what? The Chiefs run the fifth highest man coverage in the NFL. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
There's your play. This touchdown prop on Gabe Davis. Just saying.
I like it. All right. I mean, he scores touchdowns. He either scores touchdowns or drops them in the end zone. There's no in between. He gets targets at least in the end zone from Josh Allen. Allen's playing pretty good football too.
So you had no problem, real quick version of Chuba Hubbard where I had him, right? Inside the top.
Yeah, 20. No problem. I mean, the Saints defense hasn't been as fantastic, their rush defense.
I apologize to the person back in, I don't know, it was week 4, 5, or 6, somewhere around there. First time Miles Sanders got banged up, and I was like, it's Chuba Hubbard. I don't have that much interest, mostly because this offensive, we've seen Chuba Hubbard before. I apologize to you. I think there's only one person that was legitimately like, I really want Chuba Hubbard. And I'm like, fine. I think
last week's obviously the outlier. I mean, look at the past few games. I mean, even 15 for 28, 16 for 58, 10 for 57, 14 for 45. We care about that sort of stuff. Like, he's 7, 6, 5, 8 fantasy points. Like, no, like that's not even low RB2. But last week he scored 2 touchdowns and he had 25 carries and 100 yards. Like, he hadn't had a game with 20 carries. He hadn't had a game with over 80 yards. I know. That's what's surprising. It really did surprise me. I didn't see many differences in this offense in Carolina with the coaching change. I did see another good game from Mingo, which you brought up again on the series show. Is like it's tough to roll and start him. I have him as like a flex play this week. Desperation, I don't know, but they're going to lean on the run game here, kind of moving forward. That's all they can do to keep their young franchise quarterback upright, because he's just taking too many hits when he drops back.
Okay, well, let's keep going through these a few more before we get out of here. I mentioned Jordan Addison, way higher team target percentage without Justin Jefferson, but more productive with Justin Jefferson. Are you with me in having confidence that he comes back to being a top 30, 35 wide receiver with Justin Jefferson? Or are you concerned that was with Kirk Cousins, this is now Joshua Dobbs as of today, and that maybe it doesn't hit as well?
I'd say maybe it doesn't hit as well, but he's still a top 35 wide receiver.
Gabe Davis or Jordan Addison?
I'd go Gabe.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought you would have said Jordan Addison with that. But
like kind of neck and neck, just like where you have him as well. Just kind of in the same tier, but I'm going to lean with Gabe.
Is there any world, let's just play this real quick before we get out of here too. Let's say it's no Kenneth Walker and no Zach Charbonnet.
DJ Dallas?
And then, I mean, that's what I was going to say.
No. Don't do it, man. You can't.
I didn't even.
They won't
get
score
it
any
out.
Points. They may not even score any points. Like, San Fran's that good. Like, they're that good.
I just couldn't even finish it. No. Here, look, how about this? I'm gonna throw one up because we were just talking about the Vikings. DJ Dallas versus trying to figure out the split of Madison and Ty Chandler.
No, I still think I would play Madison.
Really?
I'd probably play DJ over, like, if there was no Seattle backs, I'd play DJ over Ty Chandler, maybe.
But not over Madison, not over both? How about DJ Dallas versus both Texans?
No, I like Pierce. I like Pierce. He's the guy that trusts, man. He's the bigger back. He's the between-the-tackle type of runner. He got his job back last week.
DJ Dallas versus Gus Edwards.
You're trying to find one for me. No, I'm playing Gus Edwards because he's got
I got one more.
Better
How about
chance
this
for
one?
A touchdown.
DJ Dallas versus all of the Bears.
No, I'm playing the Bears.
All of them?
Maybe not Foreman.
Or Roshan? Wait, so you go Roshan over Herbert? So you go DJ Dallas. You go Herbert.
DJ Dallas to get 15 carries for 15 yards, 3 catches for 35.
So don't fall into the trap, basically.
Nah, don't fall. Seattle's in tough spot, though, man. If they have to go to DJ Dallas, that's no disrespect to DJ Dallas, but you got to face an elite defense that's feeling it at the moment.
There's a prop for you. You just made me think about Remember I told you that Pat Mayo, he loves the whole, you know, under on catches, but over on yards? Do the over on carries, but the under on
under
yards.
Under on yards? Yeah, that's a good one. That would be a good one for sure. Man, how about Brock Purdy? Eh? This guy is just now in the MVP conversation for the third time this season. I don't even know if he. I don't even know if he's fantastic. I really don't know.
Hold on. There, like before we were gonna get. Why is Christian McCaffrey's name not in the MVP conversation?
He should be. 100%. He should
before Brock Purdy.
And you see the.
Can
first
we stop with the
drives?
Quarterbacks get every damn MVP? It is Christian. It's Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, you see the first two drives that they had, it was 3-0, and McCaffrey didn't touch the ball. And I'm thinking there, I'm watching the game with my old man who's a Niners fan, and I'm like, how many times have you seen that this year? Whereas Christian McCaffrey hasn't touched the ball in the first two drives. And they show the graphic was like -6 yards for Kyle Shanahan in the first quarter. It's like a record for him. It's like, yeah, because they didn't give the ball to CMC. And then they start giving the ball to CMC. What happens? They move the ball. The offense is just flowing and away you go. Yeah, I would say CMC. I would say Tyreek Hill is the MVP of the season. And then I would say CMC. Like, both of those guys are definitely, in my opinion, inside the top three or four.
I love some Brock Purdy, but. Like, let's be honest, but like, it's Christian McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill in that same conversation. They just at least put their name. Like, if we're doing the Heisman, like, send all three of them to the voting. Like, can we
get.
So, anyway, last few before we get out of here. Cortland Sutton. Can we slap some respect on him, by the way? Touchdown.
Touchdown every week.
9 of 12 games. The 3 games he didn't score a touchdown in. Browns? Understandable. Jets? Understandable. Commanders? Okay. That didn't make any
sense.
What
happened there?
But. I mean, if that's like, you're not going to be perfect every single, I mean, the only, Tyreek Hill's not even perfect. He's close to it, that one kind of game. But outside, like, Cortland Sutton must start, right? Top 20 wide receiver. Like, okay.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Yes.
Done.
And I like Russ, man. He's playing good football.
Before we get out of here, assuming no Christian Watson because that hamstring again, Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs. Jaden Reed before Doubs, and then Jaden Reed pushing top 25, Doubs pushing top 35. It was where I have them. Would you agree with that?
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
And is there, as we love to finish this show with it, is there a single Giants wide receiver you would risk?
No.
Not even Jalen Hyatt.
I'm hanging on to Wandale Robinson in like a 16-team dynasty league, and I don't even know why, but I just don't want to drop him.
If I was one of those teams where it's like, man, I need to make it in on points and I need to score 200, I'd throw Jalen Hyatt out there.
That's
fair. Relative to who potentially your other options.
That's the one guy that I would say, yeah, sure.
Well, let's put it this way.
The upside.
Here's a good thing for the comparison's sake. For as we get out of here on this, let's talk about somebody who big fat dud last week. I'm a big fat dude. He's not a big fat dude. He's a big fat dud last week. But no, Noah. Who do you think? And I don't like the Noah Brown one. I'm going to try to find somebody. Oh, here's one: Tyler Lockett or Jalen Hyatt. If you just need to go for points,
nah, don't do it to me. I just play Lockett.
Man,
I can't. I got to.
Do you?
I have to play Lockett. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's a better chance of him scoring points than Jalen Hyatt.
Tommy DeVito, man. He's the savior.
All right, Tommy DeVito, man. What a good story. There's been a few good stories across the league. That's definitely one.
Zay Jones against Cleveland as the number two, or Jalen Hyatt?
I play Zay.
I need to find one before we get out of here.
You're not going to find one.
Alec Pierce?
He scored a touchdown last week.
I know, but we don't really think he's the number two over. Are you benching Josh Downs, by the way, to ask that question?
You didn't ask that question. He really did burn me, man. I had the over 4.5 catches. I thought that one was a lock. I'm like, hey, he's going to get double-digit targets, and away we go. I think I would play him against this Bengals secondary. It's given up like 7 yards per attempt, which is among the leaders. I think I would go with him. I don't see some guys behind that. Maybe I would go.
All right, last
one.
Over we're him. Out of here on this. Make sure you're following Chris Me at Chris Meany. At all.
Guys, Watkins or Jalen
Hyatt? No, not that far. We're gonna get to it. And we'll SiriusXM 9 a.m. Saturday. More of this stuff. We'll have more updated information for that show, or you can listen on demand too. By the way, we tweet that out all the time. Last one. You ready?
Yeah.
Bobby Trees or Jalen Hyatt?
I'll play Hyatt, I guess.
Yeah, Jalen Hyatt. Yeah.
I like Jameson Williams, too. I think he's trending up in the offense. I play him over Jalen Hyatt.
Because he ran the ball. Like, banking on
good.
Every single
get
week.
The ball in his hands. Holy crap. Find a
they
way.
They already have 700 running backs that do well. You might, like, just, why even just run every single play? Like, just
yeah, they really should. Just run. I mean, I really like Sam LaPorta getting the targets that he's getting, and I suppose Amon-Ra deserves the ball. But
if the Lions ran the ball 40 times and only attempted 10 passes, would they ever lose a game?
Yeah, probably not. And they should slow the pace down a little bit because their defense is trash. It is.
Oh, there you go. Brutal. Hyatt or Chris Godwin?
I'm playing Godwin.
Even if you're just shooting for points?
Yes.
For ceiling? For ceiling, I would actually play Hyatt. Hyatt's getting like 30 yards per target. I'm just like, I would just play Hyatt.
I know.
Hyatt.
He had 12 targets against the Bucks. I'm hoping that
two happens. Catches for Hyatt is like 17 for Godwin. Like, I'm just saying, like, at this point.
Fair. Fair point.
Anyway, we're out of here. We'll be back Monday waivers, Saturday SiriusXM. We love you guys. Go drop into the comments for your top 20, if you disagree, your favorite TV show intro, which I didn't even ask Chris Meany about because he doesn't watch anything fun.
It's Game of Thrones.
We'll see you guys later. It's Game of Thrones? Okay.
It's Game of Thrones.
You took the easy one.
How can it not be?
No, I'll be there for
first
you.
That's one that came to my mind. I do like that one. I like the clubs. Peace.